Now, you, Mr. President, said that if people are free, they have a right to defend that freedom. Of course they have. If they're intelligent too, they will choose their weapons. And you said you cannot be moderate in defense of your life. Of course you can't. Can I quote to you what was said by Macaulay out of Lord Nugent's memorial of Hampton? He said, Hampton, John Hampton, he knew that the essence of war is violence and that moderation in war is imbecility. And Christie Davis made precisely that same point, but in different words. But in our history books, John Hampton is a great man who stands as a model of moderation. The fact that he thought imbecility, that moderation in war was imbecility, doesn't alter that fact at all, because war was forced on him. And of course, when you're in a battle, any kind of a fight, of course, you have to try and win with every means at your power, although even in the worst of wars, some things have not been done. But this point of concentrating all the time on war, as if this was the only form of excess, as if it was the only way, and that was implicit in everything that Brother Malcolm said, that the only solution to these problems is war. But as I shall show, excess on that side will not bring liberty, it will only bring excess on the other side, which wipes out the liberty which is alleged has been won. In fact, this motion that we are considering, this motion that we are considering, and which has been much belaboured by my colleague Humphrey Park, in more modest words, I regard it as a rhetorical antithesis. Sounds awfully stuffy, doesn't it? Worthy of the kindly but wrong-hearted man who used it as a decisive weapon in his own political destruction. As I see it, this is a choice that we have to make tonight. It's a choice between moderation, which I regard as the golden mean of justice, and the Goldwater mean, which is the means of injustice and defeat. Justice, in fact, is often moderation, because it's a compromise between extremists on opposing sides. I'm sorry. I regard it as a rhetorical antithesis, sounds awfully stuffy, doesn't it? Worthy of the kindly but wrong-hearted man who used it as a decisive weapon in his own political destruction. As I see it, this is a choice that we have to make tonight. It's a choice between moderation, which I regard as the golden mean of justice, and the Goldwater mean, which is the means of injustice and defeat. Justice, in fact, is often moderation, because it's a compromise between extremists on opposing sides. I'm sorry. I would regard what is going on now in South Africa as extremism to which I am utterly opposed. I regard the
Boer War, which was fought by this country as extremism against the South Africans, to which, if I had been alive, I hope I should also have been opposed, as many Englishmen were in that day. I regard what followed the Boer War as the reverse of extremism, as sensible moderation. And I'm very sorry indeed that that doesn't continue in South Africa now. But let me give you a concrete example which may make my point to Brother Malcolm. I suppose everybody in this room loathes and detests the idea of the Ku Klux Klan, who are extremists on opposing sides, extremists in defense of white liberty to enslave the black. They are extremists in defense of their liberty, and their liberty is to tend themselves against the black. Their methods are vicious, obscene, and deplorable. But what is going to happen to the black Muslims, of which, until Cassius Clay joined them, Brother Malcolm was a member? I imagine if Cassius joining them, it was a form of extremism which Brother Malcolm didn't agree with. But would it not mean that there would be perhaps a black Ku Klux Klan of extremists who, in alleged defense of their liberty, would repeat in reverse the vicious extremes of white oppressors? Mr. President, extremism is not synonymous with courage or passion or truth or honor. It often rubs shoulders. I certainly could not. But I do maintain that extremes to wipe out or defeat another form of extremism will not provide a solution, will not provide true liberty and freedom. And Mr. President, extremism often rubs shoulders with oppression and anarchy. And I say again that moderation is not synonymous with cowardice, as indeed it seemed to me that Hugh MacDiarmid tried to claim. It's not synonymous with cowardice or half-heartedness. It often covers the stubborn, unyielding stuff of which martyrs are made. I'm descended from Huguenot, who came to this country in the 17th century, 300 years ago, as the victims of religious persecution. I was born in the East End of London, the descendants of some 20 generations, and to comfort Christy Davis, all born in wedlock, and therefore not any kind of the description that he just mentioned. But I was born in the East End among people of many nationalities, and all my life I've regarded extremism which breeds discrimination on grounds of color, race or creed as an absurdity. But the vice born of extremism in the pursuit of liberty for the few at the expense of the many. And that is the point that we really have got to think of. What do we mean by freedom and liberty, and for whom do we mean it? I mean it for the great majority. I am not, and could not be, uncomfortable with Brother Malcolm, and I only regret that apparently he is uncomfortable with me.
You misunderstand that your statements are probably been from a guilt complex.
Now, I'm quite serious about this. really quite, I'm quite serious about it. And many of you are probably like that. And we are said, because we don't feel any colour consciousness, and it isn't that I see rarely people, I've employed coloured people for many, many years. Many years. With always, so it isn't just one friend. I do not feel uncomfortable. I regret that Brother Malcolm does, and I think this is important. I think that there is perhaps a bias on the wrong side, and we are thinking about things that don't exist. Now, Mr. President, yesterday in the House of Lords, on behalf of Her Majesty's Government, I moved the second reading of a bill to renew the Aliens Order and the Commonwealth Immigrants Act. Well, my speech, apart from the presentation of the facts, accurate presentation of the facts, was an honest expression of my own liberal opinion on this matter, including an expression of opinion that I hope the day would soon come when, as far as aliens are concerned, we would return to the open door of the 19th century. That is the objective that I have in my heart. But it was... Now, I'm not a pacifist, and if anybody punches me on the nose, I would punch them back to the best of my ability. And I would expect to do the same. I did, like everyone else, do his share when the time came. But there is again, you're posing the one thing. It's the only argument the believers and extremists have got. Christy Davis exposed this completely. In his speech, you come back to the belief that war is the only form of extremism. Of course it isn't. There is extremism in so many other things. But the speech I made was an honest expression of liberal opinion, which many people would regard as extreme. Now, I expected disagreement, but there was none. One conservative peer with great colonial experience welcomed... Yes, well, I'm quoting him as an extremist, led the other way. He welcomed my speech as a moderate, non-party approach, and he hoped it would be heralded as a bipartisan policy on this very difficult problem. Now, Mr. President, I did not hedge, nor do I hedge, on my views. There is no virtue, I know, in stating the honest truth. But moderation in expression can achieve justice and freedom when excess would destroy them. I have sought all my life, or most of my adult life, to serve minorities and underdogs in such organizations as the Society for Mentally Handicapped Children, in the Prison Reform Council. And always, if we are to achieve, we must first seek the truth, and we must then seek support for that truth by deploying it in a manner which will convince men of goodwill. At present, society condones the flogging of men in prison, the ultimate degradation. At present, society condones the hanging of murderers, an act in which, in my view, pollutes the whole of society. Mr. President, the Gallup polls say that over 60% of the members of the British public still support both those awful things. They are extremists. We shall be told that the only way we can convince them, the only way we can wipe those things up, is by using the same method. But I say to you tonight, and you'll know whether what I say is true within a very few weeks, and I believe Humphrey Barclay would agree with me, that this time the minority who are against these things will succeed, and they will not exceed through extremes, they will exceed through moderation, through putting the fact and putting the faith, and this time winning the day, and the abolitionists will prevail. And I say to you, and this is my last word, against the motion, if we are to win peace in the world, and justice for the oppressed, and justice for the oppressor too, we shall do it by truth, by courage, by determination, and by moderation, because extremism destroys liberty, because it breeds other extremists.